Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 44 of Season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me on the second day of March is Jess Rogers, formerly a movie blogger. Welcome back to the show, Jess.
Thanks for having me, Rob. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we've had a great conversation all week that I can just say anything to you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we're friends.
Of course. So minute 44 begins with Sally joining Harry in a squat and ends with Jess getting ready for another hit as Harry tries to explain. So, you know, Harry looks a little distraught after yesterday's minute where he was talking about the fact that he actually met he was out on a date with somebody who was also studied in a Big Ten school. And he crouches down and starts, you know, pulling the carpet a little bit. And Sally joins him and crouches down also and looks at him and says, "Harry, I think this takes a long time. It might be months before we're actually able to enjoy going out with somebody new. Yeah, and maybe even longer before we're actually able to go to bed with someone new. Oh, I went to bed with her." Then Sally looks at him and goes, "You went to bed with her? Sure." And then she goes, "Huh." You know, she's definitely taken by surprise here by this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, I love the fact that I mean, again, this is just, what is it, 20 seconds? Not even 20 seconds of this minute. Or it's about 20 seconds. And, you know, Sally really thinks she has this whole thing figured out. You know, that there's a process and it's going to take a little bit of time and you have to go through, you know, birth pangs of, you know, getting back into the dating and stuff like that. And, and Harry just completely blows that out of the water by saying, "Oh yeah, of course I slept with her. You know, like, why wouldn't I?"
Right.
He's more or less like, "Why wouldn't I?"
Yes, you're right. He almost goes that far to say, "No, of course I would."
Yeah.
Like, why would this be a thing?
Like, why does it matter? You know, that type of thing. And he also says it very matter-of-factly. You know, it's like he's basically saying that is what you do when you go out on a date.
Yeah, he doesn't even look away. Like, he doesn't look at her to say it. He just is still staring straight ahead at the carpet.
Like, he's not embarrassed about it. And he's, you know,
no.
That's what you do. You go out on a date. You meet someone, you have a terrible time, and you go and sleep with them, and then you go home, and that's it. You find an excuse.
Yeah.
We'll get there later. I think tomorrow, where he talks about excuses, about how he gets out of there quickly. But you know, I don't know. It's sort of painting Harry in a very strange light. That you know, when we as the viewer hear him say these things, they don't sound surprising. But Sally is still surprised by it, which shocks me, you know, because here she's been spending time with him and, you know, she knows what he was like beforehand and she just doesn't expect him to respond in this casual, matter-of-factly way that, yeah, of course I slept with her. You know, I had a terrible time. She didn't talk in the restaurant and she didn't like my jokes, but hey, you know, why not?
Right. Those things aren't required.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, as you mentioned earlier this week, I mean, he has a different definition of what one does on the date and what's acceptable and what's not. You know, and what's funny is he actually mentioned the fact that this was a horror date for him.
Yeah,
so that what part of it was the horror?
Right. This would have been a wonderfully successful date for Sally if it had gone more or less the same way and ended in this way.
Not necessarily, so because if the guy got up and said, I have to leave early. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's coming.
Yeah. We'll talk about that tomorrow, but still it's something that's you know, it shows that they're still not on the same page.
And the movie is very much underlining that their initial premise, right, that men and women can't be friends without wanting to sleep with each other. And so Harry is very much saying,
"Well,
sleeping with someone is not necessarily an indication of liking or not liking them." Yeah.
Right.
That this can be part of a dating process. And so if you want to sleep with someone, it can get in the way of being friends.
Correct. Correct. And, but he's not looking to be friends with her because she went to a Big Ten college. So, yeah.
Right. Exactly. So it's pretty different.
Yes.
In, it's showing how different, you're right, Harry and Sally are at this stage.
Correct. Yeah. But again, it's listening to it, it doesn't surprise me that Harry would say something like this. You know, that's his personality.
Yeah. And that Sally would be so surprised by it.
Right.
That she has a very defined way of being, and it's, I guess, repressed might be one of the ways. It's buttoned up.
Prim and proper, maybe?
Specific. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And at least in 87, 89, you didn't do that.
Well, Sally didn't.
Sally didn't. There you go.
Harry apparently did.
Harry did.
Yeah.
For sure.
Exactly.
Different standards.
Yes. And then the shot changes, and we see a machine mechanism, and then we hear and see at the same time a ball being shot out of it, right? So first of all, it's a great angle that they give us to this. This is a pitching machine. I don't know if you're a baseball person or not. But so this is a pitching machine. A pitching machine is a machine that automatically pitches a baseball to a batter at different speeds and styles. Most machines are hand-fed, but there are some that are automatically that have an automatic feed. There are multiple types of pitching machines. You have softball, baseball, youth, adult, and a combination of both softball and baseball. When do you think the idea of a baseball pitching machine was invented?
I'm going to guess somewhere 1920.
1897.
Whoa, okay. That's pretty early.
A mathematics professor in Princeton named Charles Hinton designed a gunpowder-powered baseball pitching machine for the university baseball team's batting practice.
That's crazy.
According to one source, it caused several injuries and may have been in part responsible for them firing Hinton later that year.
Oh.
But the machine was versatile, and it was capable of throwing various speeds with an adjustable breech size and firing curveballs by the use of two rubber-coated steel fingers at the muzzle of the pitcher. Successfully introduced the machine to the University of Minnesota, where he got a job a few years later to do that. Then you have what's known as an arm-type pitching machine that was designed in 1952 by a man named Paul Giovignoli, that was used on a driving range where it had a metal arm mounted to a large gear, and this machine simulates the type of motion of an actual pitcher throwing balls with consistent speed and direction. So this is all really cool. The fact that they use it a lot in little leagues in order to help kids. I mean, I think it would be a little dangerous to use it in the leagues.
I would expect so. I mean, how much can you use it? I guess if you can slow it down to where it would be reasonable for a little league batter to hit, that's not a bad thing. But how slow can you make it and still have a machine do it?
But the excuse they use in this article as to why they use it much, they use it so much in little league games is because most pitchers that age aren't able to throw strikes. So, you know, help the ball get over the plate in the right way. And it makes a lot of sense. But I never thought about the fact that they've had pitching machines for 125 years, you know.
No.
That's
a long time.
It really is. And then the shot changes a little bit, and we see where Harry and his friend Jess is. I didn't know you were in this movie.
I had a mustache and everything.
And it starts off with Harry getting the ball and hitting it. Now, I noticed right away that Harry is batting left-handed and Jess is batting right-handed. Mm-hmm. And I was really shocked. Okay. And I was starting to say to myself, I wonder if Billy Crystal is a lefty And that's why they're doing it. Now, on the commentary, they both Billy Crystal and Rob Reiner mentioned the fact that Billy is actually a switch hitter. And they decided because of the shot, it's easier for them to do it this way so that they're back to back and they can, you know, get the whole, get them both into the shot easily while they're hitting pitches. And Billy Crystal refused to have someone double for him and wanted to do it himself. And I mean, you can see throughout this minute, the two of them are definitely hitting the balls, you know. It might be special effects. I don't know, but it looks as if they are doing that. Okay.
It definitely does. And missing like appropriately, like when Jess turns around at one point, it looks like it's continuous. Right. Like they're doing it correctly.
So they are actually in the Coney Island batting range and go-kart city. That's where this was filmed.
Oh, nice.
Which is between Bowery Street and Coney Island Boardwalk in, I'm pretty sure it's Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And the two of them are just hitting them out as they do it. From what I understand, it is no longer in service, that it's closed down, and that there is a roller coaster there in place of it. You know, Coney Island is known for its roller coasters. It has one of the it has the oldest wooden roller coaster in the world that's still in operation from 1927.
Yeah, that feels like it's more dangerous than it is an achievement.
No, but you can say that it's the fact that it's lasted, 96 years, it might be dangerous, but it still is an achievement. You know, I don't know how many people, I didn't look to see how many people have been killed, you know, while riding the cyclone, but, you know.
Right. Is it more of a just little train or is it like
it's a roller coaster? It goes really fast. I mean, I was last summer when I was visiting the States, I went to Great Adventure in Jackson, New Jersey, and they also had a wooden roller coaster that was goes with what you're saying. It's scary that you're on it because you don't think it's going to be able to stay not afloat, but, you know, that it won't break apart, you know, that type of thing. But apparently it works.
Yeah.
Apparently so.
That's good.
Yeah. So yeah, they're in the. I mean, I it's too bad we don't get to see the go karts. I love go karting. You know, so it'd be a lot of fun to see them. So the two of them start having this very interesting conversation. You know, as they are both batting. I mean, we met Jess once before in the movie. This is his second appearance. The last time they were at the Giants game, which was filmed at the end of October. You know, so this is probably mid to late November. So you'd think that they would be bundled up a little better, you know, for what they're doing here.
It varies. You know. Yeah. I mean, they've got some layers on. But,
yeah.
But yeah, it's a warm day.
First of all, I like the fact that once again, it sounds as if they're picking them up in the middle of a conversation. You know, they've been talking and now they're continuing with their conversation. And then we are now privy to hear their conversation. I don't understand this relationship. What do you mean? You enjoy being with her? Yeah. You find her attractive? Yeah. And you're not sleeping with her? No. You're afraid to let yourself be happy. I don't know how that really, you know, works. Yeah,
and I don't know what Jess means by that.
Like, even though he says, I'm a writer, you know, he said a few weeks ago, I'm a writer, I know dialogue. This is not dialogue. Right. You're afraid to let yourself be happy.
Yeah. Is it like he likes her, he likes being with her, he should start dating her?
No.
Jess is trying to say.
You should be sleeping with her. That's what he says, not dating her. You know, So Jess is basically saying that if you're not sleeping with her, you can't be happy. That's what he's saying.
You're right. Yeah, I see that.
And then Harry turns to him and says, why can't you give me credit for this? This is a big thing for me. I never had a relationship with a woman that didn't involve sex. I feel like I'm growing.
And to some extent, yes, from that guy that Sally picked up outside of the University of Chicago.
Yes.
Yes, he is growing as a human. He probably doesn't spit at the window anymore. And there's a lot of good things going for Harry now, but Yeah, no, I don't think this counts as growing.
Especially after what's going to happen in a few seconds. But no, but the idea that
yeah.
that he at least thinks that he's growing also says something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that. And it says that he's really rethought that initial premise right. that men and women can't be friends, that he's really willing to come back to this, that I've never tried right. to be friends with a woman that sure. didn't involve sex. And that's, I think he does get credit for growing on that. I've never tried before. I'm trying now. Right. This exactly. is worth
he's
it.
Saying that I want to be friends with her. I don't want to ruin it by bringing in the sex, which is something that right. he has talked about for a decade now, you know, where you can't have that, but
yeah.
you know, but he continues with that. Now, I just want to mention, we talked before about the cyclone. So I quickly looked it up, and three people have died riding the cyclone. Okay. That's it. And again, the cyclone was built in 1927. The first person to die, at least according to the information I found now, was in 1985. Think about that. That's like, almost 60 years. Right.
Almost 60 years.
And apparently what happened was is a man stood up in the middle and hit his head on a crossbeam. You know, so that's like a Darwin Award type of thing. You know?
Yeah, I was going to say that's a Darwin moment.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later in 1988, a 26-year-old maintenance worker fell while he was fixing something. He was the only passenger and was riding in the back seat during his lunch break. Apparently avoiding the safety bar, he was seen standing up in the train before it's descent down the first hill. He fell 30 feet, landing on a crossbeam in a lower section of the track.
Again, not the fault of the wood.
No, not at all. And the third one was a 53-year-old man suffered several crushed vertebrae in his neck while riding the cyclone on July 31st, 2007.
Wow, again, not a hazardous place. Just he wasn't someone who should probably be riding on
right.
any
roller
coaster.
He probably already had some issues or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in 1975, someone broke a record that a man named Michael Boodley, who rode the cyclone for 1,001 times over a 45-hour period.
Yeah.
2 years later, someone broke his record.
That doesn't take that long.
Yeah. That's just amazing the number of times someone can... You know, the person who broke the record did it for 104 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then 20 years later.
That's intense.
And then, 30 years later, this guy broke his own record. And then he rode for 405 hours and 40 minutes. And got, he has the record for the longest roller coaster marathon. Actually, that wasn't in Coney Island. He did that in England. But still.
Okay.
That's just, still. Yeah. That's just
wow.
Yeah. Right. So back to Harry and Sally, or back to Harry and Jess.
Yes.
Back to Harry and Jess. So
yeah.
First of all, I love again. It goes back to what we were saying earlier this week. I love that they're having this conversation while they're doing something else. You know, it's yeah. a great back and forth between the two of them. They're both paying attention both to the conversation and to their batting stances. You know, it definitely looks as if they both are making contact every single time. Again, it might be special effects, but it might with Billy Crystal, I would assume it's not. I mean, I
agree.
One of Billy Crystal has directed a few movies, but one of them is a movie known as 61.
Mm-hmm. It's a great movie.
And he directed that. And that's one of the first times in a movie where you get actual shots of home runs without a cut.
Oh, wow.
And it's because Billy Crystal himself, you know, is a big baseball fan and.
Yeah, huge. One of the things that I really like about sort of the juxtaposition of Sally and Harry addressing his living situation and then Jess and Harry
discussing Sally
hitting baseballs and talking. Yeah. Jess and Harry hitting baseballs. is, can you imagine if they're just supposed to be friends and these are what friends do, can you imagine switching those roles so that we have the same conversations, but it's Jess and Harry doing his rugs and then Sally and Harry hitting baseballs. No. Like the way having to see one and then the other, it's this weird, subtle gender norming that was going on in this. Like Sally's doing the domestic thing with him, and that's why you need female friends. And male friends, you do these athletic things together. Right. And I never would have picked up on it if we weren't watching them so closely like this. But it is part of what's going on here.
Interesting. Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine Sally in a batting cage.
Yeah, exactly. Like then it would be very much a Harry teaching Sally something and how to do this thing, as opposed to just two guys doing this thing they do together. Right.
For sure.
But it was an interesting, it struck me watching it this time that you're getting this sort of subtle gender norming going on.
That's really cool. I never thought about that. And that's great. That's great. Thank you for that.
it would be weird if you saw them switch.
Yes, for sure. And yeah. And then, you know, as Harry is talking about the fact that he's growing. So we see a little kid behind him. Who's standing there watching him the whole time. And then the kid goes, are you finished? And then Harry turns to him and goes, hey, I got a whole stack of quarters and I was here first. We're not, was too. Big jerk, little creep. So it's a great thing to just add in here after he says I'm growing, you know.
Of course.
So that kid is played by a young actor, a 9-year-old. His role in the movie is known as 9-year-old kid, David Burdick, who only has 4 IMDb credits. He wasn't in very many movies. I had assumed incorrectly that he must have been like the child of someone on the set, but apparently he wasn't, because I wasn't able to find that information out if it was.
Right.
Yeah. And then Harry turns back to Jess and they continue talking and he goes, where was I? And Jess turns to him and says, you were growing. He goes, yeah. It's very freeing. I can say anything to her. So, you know, it's also interesting because, you know, Harry and Sally have been hanging out now for a few weeks at least. And this is the first time that he's mentioning this to Jess.
Right.
You know, so
in this
way. So as close friends as they are, you know, Jess isn't aware of the fact that this is something that is going on with Harry, you know, because otherwise if he would have been interested before, if Harry would have mentioned it and Jess would have wanted to know, okay, what's the story? He wouldn't have waited till now.
Right. I hadn't thought about that, but he is not exactly keeping a secret, but keeping something private.
He's more than keeping it private. He's not bringing it up.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know how Jess will react to such a conversation.
Right. Like, why aren't you dating her? Why aren't you sleeping with her?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he says now.
Yeah.
So Harry's been avoiding that until, you know, okay, all right, let's go back.
Right.
You know, then we'll figure that
out. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And that's pretty much how this minute ends.
Yep.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say about this minute before we get into the script?
I only found, other than it's a perfect transition to I was growing, not so much moment. The thing with the kid is weird. Yeah. It's like unnecessary if the goal is just the conversation. But because this movie is at heart a comedy, like it's really taking these moments and turning their ideas around all the way through. Like taking something serious, then you gotta counter it with something not serious to bring it back around. And
right.
I found the moment with the kid a little odd, but I think it's necessary for the storytelling.
Right. I mean, I think it's odd because you're thinking to yourself, okay, they're in a batting cage. Harry is in lane 2. Jess is in lane 3. There's another guy in lane 4.
Sure.
We don't know how many lanes there are here, but why is this kid angry at Harry?
Right. Like, why that one,
as opposed to saying something to Jess or saying something to somebody else? Like, why, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how, I assume it's first come, first serve here. That's the way it sounds. And the fact that Harry says he's got a whole stack of quarters,
Right.
because you put it in the machine and that's where
Yeah, you just play your video games
the
and you're
balls come
done.
out of, and that's it. Exactly.
That was the only thing. There's some inconsistencies there that it felt like it's only there to feed the dialogue as opposed to logic.
Okay, that's fair. So the script has a few differences here. So when Sally says to Harry, and maybe even longer before we'll be able to go to bed with somebody new, right? And then Harry says, "Well, I did go to bed with her." And in the movie, he says, "Oh, I went to bed with her." So the difference is the "oh" and the "well," but the O makes it sound as if it's an addendum. I forgot to mention that, that type of thing. And "well" was like, it sounds more boasting. So even that one word difference, I think, makes a little difference there.
I think so.
And then Sally says to him, "You went to bed with her?" And he goes, "Yeah." And she says, "Oh." And then they have one more line for Harry that says, "Is this too green?" Looking at the carpet.
Oh, interesting. I
And
kind of
it,
like
they,
that. But then it does
yeah,
tie
and
them
they,
to having a green carpet.
yeah, and then they cut that out though. So yeah. Then the script also says that they're in a batting cage in Queens, not in Coney Island. Again, doesn't make a difference. It just happens to be where they found to do it. And then Jess, before he says you're afraid to let yourself be happy, he says, "What are you afraid of?"
Oh, that might have made that line make more sense.
Yes, exactly. And then the only other slight difference is that there's two kids that are waiting for the batting cages, not just one.
Okay, that would almost make more sense too if they're both bothering Jess and Harry.
No, it just says that there are two kids there. Only one of them
Okay.
talks. The only one of them talks, but
Gotcha.
the fact that there are two kids are, the kid looks as if he's there by himself.
Gotcha. Yeah, he does.
So, yeah, it's a little strange. So every Thursday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, a Dating Courting Edition, where my guest will give a little story about something that happened to them over the course of their life. Could be an adventure, misadventure, anecdote, story, something that's related to dating or courting. So, Jess, you have another story for us?
I do. I figured since I gave you my rejected story, I would give you my proposal story as well. So, my partner and I have lived together for just over a year at that point, and I was sort of edging for, are we gonna take the next step? What's going on? And he's like, yeah, probably. And so I had no idea any of this was going on, more or less. I'd kind of given him till the end of the summer to figure it out one way or the other. Like, we need to decide. And I had to get my tires changed. It was just a random Wednesday in July. And the tire people called and were like, oh, we won't have your tires ready till tomorrow. Is that okay? And I was like, sure, no problem. And my partner says, oh, but I had promised our friend Richard that he could borrow my folding table. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we'll just drive it over. No big deal. We'll drive up because he lives near where the tires were being dropped off. And I was ragging him. I'm like, what does Richard want the table for? And my partner's like, I don't know. I didn't ask. And it's like, oh, you're such a boy. You don't even ask questions. I need the details here. Are we not invited to some party I don't know about? And so it's hot as blazes. And we put the table in the car, drive it over. I text Richard saying we're on our way with the table. And we get there. My partner asks if I'll help him carry the table to the backyard. And it's like, okay, I guess it's hot, sure. Sure. Okay. We'll carry it to the backyard. We put it down. I'm like, should we go get Richard just to let him know we're here? And I turn around and he's on one knee. And I was like, oh my God, I freaked out. Oh my God, what's going on? And he said, do you know where we are? And it's like, well, yeah, we're in Richard's backyard. He's like, where we first met.
Oh, wow.
And I know where we first met at a work party. And then he had a ring and said, will you marry me? And he knew all of the whole thing. Like, he knew I was going to text Richard. So Richard had been told that we were coming with a table and to just say sure. So he knew, he had planned the whole thing, but the fact that the tires weren't going to happen didn't throw him off. He's just like, okay, I'm going to bring this table to Richards and get there. And it all worked out.
That's great.
So it was really sweet. Story.
I like it. I like it. Thanks. I'm glad that you like it more than I like it, but that's fine. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you.
They can find me on Twitter @in_entertain. It's a throwback to my blog, Insight into Entertainment. So that's why it's a weird name that has nothing to do with my name. But yeah, it's listed as Dr. Jess Rogers.
Okay. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. Or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So, Jess, you feel like coming back in tomorrow to finish off the week?
Oh, we got to wrap this up, yeah.
Because, you know, I don't have to lie. So it's great.
Yeah, we can be truthful with each other. I'll give you the woman's point of view.
Sounds good. All right, so until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still, it had to be you, wonderful you, had to be you.